Regional South Lake, we kind of disrupted our normal pattern, how we normally do service this morning, but it has been intentional. And I can't help but think that it so mimics what is going on in the world right now, that our lives have been disrupted by this virus, and how we approach life is different. We're learning that there's a different normal, a different way to live right now. And I want to say that one of the things that kind of has bothered me this week is some of the posts that I've been seeing on social media, that there's a general theme that I hear and see and read, that it says, I can't wait for this virus to be over so we can return to our normal way of living. And I got to tell you that I really don't agree with that. What I do want, just like everybody else, I do want this virus to be over and to be done with. That, I assure you, we can agree on. But I'm not sure that I want to return to the way that we were living. You see, when we look at the American way of life, that we are very busy people, that we are constantly engaged with stuff, that industries, companies, bosses require us to work more than ever when we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, that we have such little time with the friends and family and people that we love. But also, when we look at the numbers, statistically, the American church is declining, and that's a problem. So when I hear people say that I want us to return to our normal way of life, I don't. May we never do that. May this be something that triggers us to be a different people. That through this, the church may grow. That through this, our relationship with God would grow. May we look at life differently. I'm very intentional about what I do in life and about the very message that I bring to you every week. And if you were to go into my office right now, there's a dry erase board there. And in the center of that dry erase board is a single question. And it says, what is God telling us in this moment? I think that's a question that all of us should be reflecting on. What is God trying to engage us with and teach us in this moment? Now, I've spent time reflecting on that, and I can say with great assurity, I don't know. I think it's not a singular answer. I think there's many facets to that answer. But I do believe that there is a answer that we can talk about this morning. And it relates to time. But to help us understand that, I want us to read Scripture together. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you open them up to Psalm 27? And I believe that this passage is going to give us the framework for this answer. In Psalm 27, beginning in verses 13 through 14, it says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. When I read that, there's two things that immediately jump out at me that the psalmist says, that I would have despaired. I would have been troubled. I would have been in anguish. I would have been fearful in this time. But I believed that I would see the goodness of God in this time, in this place. So I'll wait upon the Lord, and through that I will have strength and courage. Yes, I will wait upon the Lord. Do you hear the repetition there? Waiting upon the Lord. I believe that is the foundation of the message this morning, that what is God trying to tell us in this moment? That we need to wait upon him. That this is an issue of time. So we're going to talk about different aspects of time this morning. And I believe there's three that we can focus in on. The first one is, I believe this is a time to live. It's a time to live to serve God. If we look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, Scripture says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" Remember God now, and there won't be any regrets. Don't waste your time on foolish things. Instead, make every hour count for good and ask yourself, what am I doing with my time? Are we even trying to say, how can I serve God in this time? Are we so wrapped up with what's going on in the world right now that we've forgotten to ask that question? How do we serve God in the midst of being quarantined, in the midst of this pandemic? We also should know that this is a time to live to serve others. If we look at 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11, Scripture says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Please remember that passage the next time you are out in public. Now, that was not a joke. 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What Scripture is telling us is that when we serve others, that our words and our deeds, our words and our actions need to reflect that of Christ. So we can be an example to the world. It's not enough to simply love God. We must love others as ourselves. We must be willing to help others in this moment. There are those in this church who continue to serve. No, I'm not talking about staff. There are people that are finding different ways to serve this community or the communities that they live in this time. Just because the world has stopped doesn't mean that God has, nor have we. This is a time for the church to be an example to the rest of the world. This is also a time to live by slowing down. As I said, in the American culture, we are very fast-paced. We move on from one thing to the next. I admitted this morning myself that I am a workaholic, that I have a hard time with Sabbath, and I believe that is wrong. That is something that I continually work on personally. So when we hear things like, "Well, I can't wait for life to return as normal," that's not my prayer this morning. I hope we find a new normal in life when all this is over. And I hope and pray that is a much slower way of life. Our second point is, I believe this is a time to learn. That we are to be engaged with God at this time, to be seeking him and learning. We have all the opportunities at this time to learn so many different aspects about God if we are intentional in what we do. There are several that are key that I hope that you are doing. The first one is, this is a time to learn God's will. If we look at Psalm 143, verse 10, the psalmist says, "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, may your good spirit lead me on level ground." That's pretty simple, pretty cut and dry. Teach me to do your will. If you are a Christian, and you don't know God's will for you, if you don't know your purpose in life, why you were created, this is the question you should be resting on at this time. You should be praying, God, why did you create me in this way? What am I to do? How am I to react to the world around me? God, teach me. We should know what our will is for us, what God's will is for us. Beyond that, this is a time to learn God's word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Do you hear how Paul started that passage? Do your best to know the word of God. Do your best. In the beginning of this year, we developed a plan to read the Bible together, a reading plan, that 15 minutes a day, roughly, that we're engaged in Scripture to learn it. I hope that you're still doing that. I hope that you're still engaged with Scripture. Now more than ever, you should be. But as we travel through that, let me ask you a question. Does this feel like an obligation to you? Like, this is something that I have to do, and you kind of push it off. Say, well, I'll get to that at the end of the day, and grudgingly you say, well, I'll go study the Bible now or do my 15 minutes. If that's your attitude, let me ask you a question. Do they honor the words of Paul when he says, do your best? Do your best to study this. For what purpose? So you can correctly handle the word of God. Well, some of you may be saying, yep, yeah, okay, hold on a second, but I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor. Well, that doesn't matter. You see, we're called to share the gospel with the world. So each one of us, every single one that is in the church, should know the word of God. It instructs us. Scripture tells us how to live our lives, not only how to develop a relationship with the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, but how to get through life, how to get through crisis. When we should feel happy, when we should feel sad. We should be engaged with that. If we're going to do that, then we need to be in the Word daily. And we need to look at hard study of His Word. I believe this is also a time to learn God's wisdom. James 1:5 said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Simply put, if you need wisdom, ask God, and He will give it to you. This has been a weekly prayer of mine for years now. Probably the past, I would say, 6-7 years, that every week, at least once a week, I'm praying, God, share your wisdom with me. May I come to know your word better. May I understand it in a way that I've never understood it before. May I understand my purpose in life. What is your will for me? I'm praying for this. I'm asking this. And over the past several years, God has been faithful and He has responded to that. And He has given me wisdom. He has shown me my purpose. And I promise you, if you pray that and you're genuine about it and you're faithful about that prayer, God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you understanding. He will reveal your purpose in life if you are patient and you search for it. I also believe that this is a time that we are to be looking. What I mean by that is we should be looking upward to God. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always." When we see God, our lives will never be the same. We will be transformed. May we see God through His word and through His servant. I'm asking you to allow Him to open your spiritual eyes so that you will see him. In this time, the first place that we should be turning to is to God, that we should be looking up to him. And we should be asking all of these questions. We should be seeking him in all things. This is also a time to look inward, to look at ourselves. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's an interesting passage, where our treasure is. What Matthew is referring to here is that our treasure tells us so much. It's basically saying, what do you desire most? And that will tell me where your heart is aligned. Let me give you a couple examples. Maybe you're a single person, you're looking for a significant other, and that's something that's deep in your heart. Maybe you're looking for a spouse. You're saying, I really want to share life with somebody. And that's preoccupying all of your time. That's what is in your heart. Maybe it's job related. Maybe you're saying, if I could only have that promotion to make that money, that little bit more money, then everything would be so much better. I don't want to tell you that that's not the way to approach life. Our treasure should be God, that we seek God in all that we do. Now, here's what I mean by that. It is okay to want a significant other. It's okay to desire to have a spouse. It's okay to seek out that promotion. If God has blessed you with the resources, with an incredible income, that is okay. I'm not saying those things are bad. What I'm saying is that the first thing that your heart goes to? Because unless it is God, unless we are saying, I am seeking God in all things and praying to him to lead me in life, when we find these other things in life that are treasures, that are gifts and blessings upon us, like spouses and jobs and children and whatnot, if we don't put God first, we're never going to understand true love. We're never going to have peace in our life. We're never going to appreciate the depth of what we have and what we've been given. So unless God is first, our alignment is incorrect. So we need to be looking inward at these times. But this is also a time to look outward and to look at others. Matthew 25:40 says, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" It's a simple passage. Are we reflecting Christ in our actions? Let me give you a great example that actually played out this week that I saw personally. Going to the grocery store, we were after something, and it wasn't a need. It was something that we wanted, we hadn't been able to get for a while because it was always out. And get to the grocery store, and it is the last one that is there, the last item. And we were able to get it. But in that, looking beside me was a person who it was very, very evident that it was a need for them. And I don't say this to shame anybody, but you could tell by the way that they were dressed and how they were acting that they needed that item. Let me ask you, in that moment, what would you do? Would you give up a want, something that you don't need, but it's something that you've desired, knowing that if I give this up, it could be weeks before this item comes back? Would you give up a want for somebody else's need? That's the question that we should be asking ourselves right now. But we can only do that if we're actively looking at others. When I go to the grocery store, I make eye contact with people. I say good morning, good afternoon. I'm engaged with people. Granted, we keep social distance, but this is an opportunity for Christians to be a light in the world and to show other people who we are. All around us, there are those that are in need of God's help. We must be in touch with the needs of other people today. We need to remember that. I want to close by talking about the sermon title. I think, Brad, if you can pull up that, there it is, that photo. I haven't even mentioned the title of this sermon, A Time Such as This. I think that tells us so much about where we're at right now. And I want to talk about that photo. Because when you look at that, you probably see an island out in the water. And maybe you feel like that island. Maybe you feel like you are trapped on that island and you want to get off of it. There's nothing to do. You're bored. You feel insecure about what the future holds and you just want to get to shore. At the end of the day, that island really represents your home. And so many of us are limited to our homes right now, and we feel like we're trapped on the island. Can I tell you that that's the wrong perspective to have? Let me give you a different perspective. If you look at that picture and you look at that island, do you see that as a refuge? That God has given us an opportunity to slow down. He's placed us on an island with those that we love. And he's saying, spend time with them. Spend time with me. Get to know me. Get to know my word. Slow down. And instead of this being a time of despair, it becomes a training ground. That God is using this time to develop you for something greater in your life than you were ever aware of. That he's going to use this time to do his will through you. So you view this as a time to train, and you want to stay on that island. And it becomes passionate about, actually, God, I want to stay there until you say, no, now you can leave. Do you see the vast difference between those two perspectives? One is, I've got to get out of here. I need to leave this island. I'm afraid, I'm unsure of what the future holds, and I want to just get back to what I know. The other one says that you have comfort because now you're starting to understand your purpose in life. You're starting to understand God's word, and this is a refuge, and you do not want to leave until God says go. And when you leave, you're excited about something new because you know the future is going to be different. There is no normal. Everything will be new for you at that time. Which perspective are you, church? How do you view that island that you're looking at? I suggest that you reflect deeply on that in this time. Ask God to give you a perspective that maybe you've never had before. Don't be afraid to ask that question. And let him give you a new perspective on life. Church, let us pray together. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you have given us. This time is precious. Every moment that our lungs draw breath is a gift from you. So this is a time for us to reconnect with family, to reconnect with friends, to make phone calls to those we haven't talked to in a while, to play silly games that we haven't engaged with in years, to open up your word and study it in a way that maybe we never have before, to spend time in prayer, earnest prayer, seeking you, trying to understand what is our purpose. Father, we thank you for this time. This is such a precious time. Father, I pray that you would give us all wisdom, that you would share our purpose, not only as individuals, but as a collective, as the body of Christ, as the church. What are we to do? Help us reflect you to the world. Help us be a beacon of light to draw people closer to you in this time. May our actions honor you. May our words be pleasing to your ears. May we grow ever more faithful in you in each and every day. We ask these things in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you stand and hold out your hands like this? Church, brothers and sisters, you have an incredible blessing on your hands right now, the gift of time, something that we too often take for granted. Slow down. Spend time knowing your Father. Spend time with the loved ones around you. Engage with them. Love on them. Laugh with them. Develop incredible, beautiful relationships that are stronger than ever before. And go forth knowing that the future is unwritten and beautiful. We will see you next week. God bless.